Hi, I'm Deborah Lindat, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world, because there's lots of toxic chemicals out there, and we encounter them every day in consumer products, but we don't have to live a toxic life, because there are so many things in this world that are not toxic. There's so many ways that we can remove toxic chemicals from our homes, from our bodies, from our workplaces. It's just a matter of learning how to make those choices. And that's what we do on this show, is learn how to make choices that are toxic free. Today's Monday, December 2nd, and it's all overcast and cold here in Florida today. It feels like winter. It's so nice. I'm really starting to feel in the holiday spirit now that Thanksgiving is over. And something I want to mention is that I have a new food blog that I've been talking about, and for the next couple of weeks I'm going to be posting a lot of recipes for wonderful holiday treats, candies and cookies and things that we like to eat that aren't so good for us, but made from natural sweeteners, things other than gluten, flour, things like almond flour, coconut flour, other things. They taste fabulous. And they're easy to make. And so you can just go to my website, go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, go to the top of the page to the main navigation and click on food. It'll take you to that page and you can just see every day the new holiday treats that are coming your way. Today we're going to talk about clothing. A couple of weeks ago I found a website called fairiesdance.com, and they have one of the best collections of really unusual natural fiber clothing and very good descriptions. And so I asked the founder and CEO to come on and be as a guest so that we can learn from her more about how we can choose and find clothing that doesn't have toxic chemicals in it. Her name is Adrienne Catone. She's the founder and CEO of the eco-fashion website, fairiesdance.com. Hi, Adrienne.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous. We're just going to have a conversation. So where are you geographically? Aren't you in Oregon?
Yeah. Yeah, just outside of Portland.
And is it cold there?
It's very cold here. It's finally, the weather's completely broken and it's down into the 30s now.
Oh, how great. It's 65 here, which is very cold for Florida. I mean, it really, I'm wearing a sweater and a wool scarf and everything, and it's 65. Because our bodies get acclimated to the heat, you know. So tell us, just start by telling us your story about how you got interested in doing a website about eco-fashions.
Well, I actually was on vacation. This is way back. My story is long. It was slow getting started. But in 1994, I did a trek in Africa and into the jungles between Rwanda and Burundi, and I met up with some silverback gorillas. And it's you only get to be with them for an hour, and it was just absolutely life-changing. And I had never before that thought about environmentalism or conservation, and after that realized that they were, you know, on the highly endangered species list, and it really just completely turned my entire focus and thought process, and I started thinking about how I could live a more environmentally conscious life that would be more sustainable and that wouldn't hurt these other beings on the planet with us.
Yes, I understand. Yes. So then what happened?
Well, what I started to do, you know, when you initially think of things like this, it becomes overwhelming. And so then I did the one thing a year thought. And so every year in January, I would change one thing. So one year I said, okay, no more toxic cleaners. And I changed all the cleaning products and I did all the research I had to. And then the next year, it was no more toxic body care, and changed my shampoo and all the things that were in the shower. And then the next year was like, okay, no more toxic clothing. And so just one thing at a time, you know, what am I buying for the house? No more toxins when you go out in the garden. And then eventually it came to, you know, I turned vegan. And that's partly because it's very healthy and partly because I wanted to do more for animals. I don't like West factory. And then finally it came down to looking at my career and saying, this career is definitely not sustainable. What would I do in a perfect world? What would I do? And that's where the clothing company finally came about. It was almost 10 years later, but I had completely transformed my life in those 10 years from, you know, it was almost a completely different person. And then I started the business, and that's how it grew. But Fairy Stance really started as a more eco-friendly, sustainable, and less about allergens or toxins.
But I do see on your site that you give a lot of attention to things that are toxic and things that are allergenic, and I see a product that we'll talk about later I'm looking at right now. It says it was designed to reduce reactions for individuals with chemical sensitivities. So I do see that toxics is something that's important to you. Well, let's talk a bit about you've obviously done a lot of research, and that really shows on your site. So when you were deciding to remove toxic clothing from your life, what sorts of things did you find out about how things were toxic?
Well, the first thing that I was looking at, and like I said, at the beginning, I was really just thinking about the environmental issues and the sustainability of it. But the first thing I learned was how much pesticides were put on the things that turn into clothing.
Yes.
And actually, I don't know if how much you or your readers know about clothing, but for example, cotton is the highest pesticide sprayed crop in the world. And that's because it's not considered a food crop, even though cottonseed oil is in many foods. So it doesn't have any of the regulations for pesticides on food. And so it's just doused with toxic pesticides. And even if you forget about cottonseed oil, who wants to wear that against their skin? So I started looking first at the fabrics, and then once I got to find organic cotton and hemp and all these wonderful things, bamboo, that can be grown without toxic chemicals and pesticides, then I started researching the next step, which is how much chemical finishing agents go into a final product. And this is where it can get a little dicey. You might go into a big, you know, one of these big stores and see something that says it's organic cotton, but it could still be, it might have been grown organically, but then at the end they want it to have a nice sheen and they want it to not wrinkle in the wash.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
It can be doused with chemicals at the end, right before you wear it. Those are actually even worse than the ones grown, in terms of, you know, you personally putting it against your skin.
You know, so, I remember when I've been doing this for about more than 30 years. And so I remember when organic cotton first became available and what it looked like and natural and pure and things. And then it was really difficult to get, and you had to order it. I was about to say you had to order it online, but no, there was no online. It was you had to order it by mail and wait for it to come in the mail. And then a few years ago, I went into a big store and they were selling organic cotton, and I bought some of these organic cotton sheets. Actually, not for myself. I needed some as a prop for a TV show. And I opened the package, and it didn't look at all organic. It looked like it had all kinds of finishes on it. But we'll talk about more about this when we come back from the break. I'm Deborah Lynn Babb. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. And my guest is Adrienne Catone from fairystance.com. And we're talking about toxic free fabric and clothing. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Adrienne Catone from fairiesdance.com, where she sells all kinds of eco-friendly and toxic-free clothing. And one of the things that her website is very well laid out, because you can shop by size, by fabric, by color, by manufacturer. So if you're looking for just organic cotton, I mean, you can just go click on shop by fabric, which I'm doing right now, and then it shows you a menu, for lack of a better word, a gallery of fabrics, a picture of each of the fabrics as they appear in nature. I love that. I always have that idea that I want to know what, go all the way back to nature and see what it looks like. And then you can click on each one of these, and it takes you to its own page that explains each of these fabrics. And so she has a lot of information on the site. So why don't we, before we talk about your some of the individual clothing that you have, let's talk about your fabrics for a bit. What do you think? Let's start with, well, we were already talking about cotton, so let's talk about organic cotton and why that's important.
So organically grown cotton is cotton that is grown without any chemical pesticides and without any toxins. And it does require more more attention by the farmer. He can't just spray and go away. You really have to be more careful with maintaining the balance of the soil and all that to keep the cotton healthy. And that's why it does wind up taking costing a little bit more, although there's questionable whether or not it yields the same. Some studies say you get about the same amount of cotton. It just takes a little bit more energy and effort on the farmer, as opposed to kind of just, you know, spraying and forgetting it. But so it's a much cleaner cotton that you're to start with, and you don't wind up polluting the groundwater with all those pesticides and killing off, you know, bees and butterflies.
I just want to mention that I know some tests have been done to find out if there's pesticide residues left in the fabric, and they found that if you have like cotton batting, like in a mattress or a pillow or something, that there's still pesticide residues on that. But by the time the cotton gets processed into fabric, that there actually aren't pesticide residues. So even if we're not wearing organic cotton clothing, there's no pesticide residues on either regular cotton or organic. But it's so important to wear organic, because as you were saying earlier, the toxic pesticides, the amount of pesticides are so great. That's going into our environment, but it's also coming back to us as an indirect exposure in our air, in our water, in our food. You can't put toxic chemicals in the environment and not have them come back to us. So that's where we really need to watch out for the toxic chemicals. And organic cotton is so important. And on this site, Adrienne has a variety of organic clothing pieces that I've never seen anywhere else. So we're going to talk about that a little later. But there's more and more organic cotton available, more and more clothing styles. So it's really important to take a look and see if you can find organic cotton clothing that's right for you. Tell us about hemp.
So hemp is a cousin of marijuana, and most people know that, and it has been illegal to grow here in the United States for quite a while. However, hemp actually can't be smoked. It doesn't have the THC that makes you high. It's a cousin. It's not the same thing, and that's so it never really should have been illegal to grow, but there was concern that it looks like marijuana, and so it was banned at one point. And hemp has actually been around forever. It was made ropes and rigging for ships back in the days of Columbus were using hemp, because it's just an incredible fabric. If you get raw hemp, which is mostly unprocessed, it tends to be a little bit scratchier than cotton. And so it makes better jeans, for example, than it does nice soft shirts. But you'll find that it holds up really well in the wash, and it softens over time. So hemp is just, it's probably, I'm going to say, the best, the most eco-friendly fabric of all the ones that I show.
I would agree with you, and I love hemp. I love the way it looks and feels. It's because I like things to be rustic. But it's also really good for things like bags, because it's so durable and heavy duty, and it will last so long. So that it's really good for like a jacket or something that you're not wearing next to your skin, but that you want to have good protection. Okay, the next one you have is linen. I love linen.
Yeah, linen is just a nice fabric, and you can get linen that's grown without pesticides. It's from the flax plant. And I think most of us have seen that linen has that kind of neat little striping in the fabric itself once it's woven. And it's, you know, very crisp and clean. It does wrinkle. But if you get linen without pesticides, you know, grown without pesticides, it's a great natural fabric that comes from nature. So it's another good one.
Okay, good. So those are the what I would call the natural fibers that you carry, cotton, hemp, and flax. And there's other natural fibers like silk and wool. I don't see those here, but those are animal fibers, so that's probably why you're not carrying them. So then you have some other ones that like start out as with natural materials, but then they're made into fabrics. You're not actually getting the fiber as it appears in nature. So tell us what Tencel is.
So Tencel is, I think most of us are familiar with rayon.
Oh, rayon, wait, before you do that, we have to go to break. I was so interested in listening to you. I didn't watch the time.
no problem.
But you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and I'm here with Adrienne Catone, and she's from fairiesdance.com. And we're talking about the natural fibers that her clothing is made from. And then we're going to talk about her very interesting individual pieces. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Adrienne Catone from fairiesdance.com. And we're talking about her exceptional organic and natural fiber clothing. All right, so before the break, we were talking about Tencel. So tell us what that is.
Okay, so Tencel is actually a man-made fabric, but it starts with managed tree farms. Uh-huh. And the purpose of Tencel, this company in Germany was trying to recreate rayon without all the toxic chemicals, without all the damage it was doing to the environment. So they start with managed tree farms, and they created, the way they do this is they take the base material, which is plants, and they run it through a big chemical bath, and that's how rayon is created, and then it is turned into fiber, and all those chemicals are dumped into the water. So what this company did was they did the same thing, but they first reduced all of the really toxic stuff. They got rid of all the bad toxic chemicals and tried to create more benign chemicals, so they're still using a chemical process, but it got rid of all the really yucky stuff. And then they created what's now called a closed-loop system, where they were able to take all of that stuff at the end, all of the waste products, and then reuse it. And so actually they don't dump any waste at all. They just keep reusing the same chemicals. They're much more benign. They don't pollute. And they create the same nice drape and flow as rayon. So now you can get these gorgeous gowns and things that you would normally see in this Tencel fabric. And we also carry white pine And White Pine is a very similar process where they've used that closed loop system without mm-hmm. the toxins to take white pine tree trimmings. And in this case, the white pine is really fun too because they don't actually even kill the trees or manage the farms. They just take all the trimmings that people would normally do and use that leftover tree to create a fabric in a closed loop system that doesn't have any bad side effects.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So you also have soy fiber. I've never heard of soy fiber.
Yeah, soy is fun. And basically what during tofu manufacture, you know, soybeans have that outer casing. If you're eating edamame, you eat the inside and you throw out the outer casing. Well, in tofu manufacturing, of course, there's tons of this casing that just gets thrown into the trash. Or, you know, they can dump them in and try to turn it into soil and stuff. But it's essentially a waste product. And this company in China figured out a way to take those soy casings that were being thrown out and turn them into a fabric as well. So we sometimes get asked, is it non-GMO? And the answer is we don't always know. They take, it's essentially a recycled trash type fabric. And so we mm-hmm. don't always know if the soy is GMO or not. But they're taking essentially this trash, and soy is fantastic because it turns out to be really stretchy, much more so, you know, almost like a spandex, but not, but without spandex, without the polyurethane or oil that would go into spandex. So it's got a nice stretch, and it's like just a beautiful fabric. I'd been waiting for them to come up with something in lingerie because it's such a great fabric, and they finally have, and now we have soy lingerie as well.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, so when we were talking about this page that you have, I had said that you could just click on Shop by Fabric in your menu, and it would take you to the page where there's a picture of all the different fabrics. And I was making an assumption I could just click on them and that there would be more information. But during the break, I clicked on them and found that if you're on that page and you click on it, you get all the products that are made, all the clothing that is made from that type of fabric. But there's also a link there to a page called Product Information, and it does have all the information and links to find out more about each of the fabrics. So all of that is on the website. It's just not where I said it was, but it's there. All right, let's talk about some of your clothing. First, I want to ask you, though, you have so many things that I've never seen before. And I've been looking at eco clothing for as long as it's been around. I was looking at natural fiber clothing, looking for natural fiber clothing way back in the 80s when everybody was wearing polyester leisure suits. And it was very difficult to find. So how do you go about finding all these things? I mean, I don't want to take away your searching secrets, but how do you find these things?
Well, it's two ways. At the beginning, it really was quite a search for me, and I went to a bunch of different sustainable manufacturing type events where sustainable manufacturers would show items. And eventually what happened is that, especially with intimates, because we have a lot of intimates, bras, and panties. And what's happened now is that because we have a reputation for bringing organic bras, occasionally some of the manufacturers will contact me, and which is always exciting that somebody's found me and wants to have their items shown.
Yes, and people contact me too. I know, it's fun.
Yeah. And so I will say that On the one hand, today, we've been open for 8 years, and even just in those 8 years, it's a lot easier to find some of these things than it used to be. There are more sustainable manufacturers now than there were. But we also bring in a lot. We found that Europe is doing a lot more with sustainable fabrics, especially in the lingerie. The Europeans are very aware of having sustainable fabrics against their skin. And mm-hmm. so we bring in a lot of products from Europe and Canada, as well as those that are made in the U.S.
I found that, too, back in 1990, when I was first looking at sustainable things, I went to a green product show in Germany. And when I walked in, I just started crying because there was so much there that was not in America at all. I couldn't find it in America at all. And it was just like Christmas morning for me to go around that show and see all these things that were organic and made out of natural materials. And you know, I just would have bought everything that was there if I could have taken it home on the plane with me. We need to take another break, but we'll be right back to talk about toxic-free clothing with Adrienne Catone. She's the founder and CEO of the eco-fashion website fairiesdance.com, and we've got some exciting things to talk about when we come back. So stay with us. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Adrienne Catone from fairiesdance.com. And I want to spell that for you because it's spelled in the old way, F-A-E-R-I-E-S, dance.com. And we've been talking about different fabrics. Let's talk about your clothing. Now, I want to just mention a few items that it really intrigued me. The one I'm looking at right now is called Tweed Swing Coat. And it comes in regular sizes and plus sizes. And ladies, if you're looking for plus sizes, organic clothing in plus sizes, this is a place to look because there's more than I usually see on websites. Often you can't find any, but she's got a lot on here. So, but the thing that's interesting so what happens when you go to an individual product? It tells you the fabrics. It tells you the percentage of each fabric. Like this one is 83% hemp and 17% organic cotton. And then it tells you if you can wash it, what are the care instructions, how to wash it, how to dry it. And then it tells you where it's made. This one is made in the USA of imported fabric. And that gives me a lot of information. And I don't often see that much information. And I really appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. I think you've done a really good job, Adrienne.
Thank you.
What another thing that I like about this coat is that it says it's fully lined with leftover fabrics from previous seasons. Each lining is unique. And I just love that. You know, that there isn't, if you go into a department store, and you can certainly find, say, a linen jacket or a wool jacket or a cotton jacket even, but it's usually lined with a synthetic lining. And I'm always looking for natural fiber clothing that doesn't have those linings in it. And so here is a hemp jacket, and that the lining is uniquely made out of scrap. And I think that that's absolutely fabulous. So what kind of fabric is pieced together for the linings?
Most of them were leftover silks from previous seasons. The company that makes these does use silk. We don't usually carry silk as a vegan company because they kill the silkworms. But we love the idea that, you know, this is silk that was already made and now scrap, and it wasn't thrown away. It actually got used.
Right.
So I think that's great.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's not guaranteed to be silk, but most of them were silk that we saw because it was a nice warm lining, and that was what they had mostly left over of.
Good, good. Okay, so I'm going to just click back here to these pages as I'm talking about them. Another one I wanted to mention was the little black dress. And I have a question. I want you to explain something. But while I'm typing, why don't you tell us about the little black dress?
Is there a name of this dress?
Oh, it's called, it was on the home page in the text. It's called the little black dress. You know which one I'm talking about? You say,
yes.
In the second paragraph, it says,
And
need something for a night on the town, slip into the perfect little black dress. That's it. Here mm-hmm. we are. Bandine dress.
So this is a fun one. It is made from a blend of bamboo and organic cotton. And it has one of those adjustable tops, which is just so much fun. You can tie it several different ways at the top to give you a different look. This one is made in China, and we actually don't have a problem with bringing in items from China as long as they are adhering to Fair Trade Federation guidelines.
Okay, so that was my question, because I get this is probably my number one question from my readers, is if I recommend something that comes from China, they say, do you know that that came from China? Like, if it comes from China, it must be bad. But, you know, I have the viewpoint that not everything from China is bad, because I know companies personally who have their things made in China, and that they are wonderful, wonderful products, and they're not full of lead or any of those other China problems. So can you explain your experience and why you have things from China?
Yes. Yeah, so I will tell you that some of your readers are correct. There is a lot going on in China there in terms of there's a lot of pollution, there's a lot of lead. However, China is coming to, you know, into its own. It wants to be more westernized, and there is a subset of Chinese manufacturing that's really trying to come up to standards that we would consider acceptable. So one of the things is for us, for me in particular, is it has to be meet all fair trade. I don't want somebody working slave hours and getting, you know, $3 every 2 months or something. So fair trade means they look at the local economy and they make sure that everyone there is working at a living wage for their economy, that there's no child labor, there's no sweatshop labor, that generally health care is either provided or the wages are high enough that health care is reasonably, you know, within the realm of possibility for the people who are working. So for me, the human aspect is the biggest thing. But then also something like ISO adherence is the fact that they are concerned about making sure that they're not dumping those chemicals, they're not polluting the water. And so there is quite a bit of good things coming out of China, and everything that we source from China, we follow through. We have to personally talk to someone who's been to China, to the factory, to make sure that it's there. And then we either want certification or, you know, written standards that we can make sure, okay, this person that I know has actually been to this factory, and these are the conditions they've seen, and they meet, in this case, ISO adherence and fair trade standards. And if that's the case, then, you know, these are people too, and they need work, and they're trying to do something great. So why not support them?
I agree. Okay, so let's talk about your bras, especially because you have so many bras. And especially there was one that caught my eye called the drawstring bra. And I'm going to type that in. just so that I can be looking at it while we're talking. You have to excuse my nose and my cough and cold weather.
I'm pining for the days of 65. I just here from California, so I'm used to from Los Angeles, actually, so I'm used to the really warm weather. So
yeah.
This is pretty cold for me, too.
Okay, so here we have an organic cotton jersey bra with no metal hooks or stretch marks from coarse elastic. It's designed for comfort and support, and it utilizes adjustable drawstrings and rib fabric for flexibility. And it's, you know, I don't even know what to say. It's completely latex free, completely elastic free for sensitive skin, organic cotton, double layered cotton lining. It has covered seams to prevent rubbing and agitation, irritation-free label for sensitive skin, textile dye-free and resin-free. This is amazing. I've never seen a bra like this.
Yeah, I told you at the beginning that I started out looking for just eco-friendly and sustainable. And what I found was that there were a number of women coming to my site who had allergies. And we started looking through, okay, well, even though this is low-impact dye, they have an allergy to this dye. Or even though this is organic cotton, the elastic is latex. And I had not realized how many people with allergies there were out there. And mm-hmm. that's when I started realizing that this was a marketplace that was underserved. And I started looking for specifically allergen-free, eco-friendly. And I came across this company. They actually work out of the Philippines. And this is the only company that I'm working with that actually does this, but they actually do medical tests on all of their products for allergies. So these have been so popular since I got them. As I said, I didn't realize how many people had allergies, but this is a bra that has no latex and no elastic. I mean, no elastic at all, which is just amazing. And
yeah.
It's a godsend for people who have severe chemical sensitivities.
Yeah, we've only got about a minute left. Didn't that go by fast?
Didn't go by fast.
So is there anything that you want to say that you haven't said? And say it short, because now we have less than a minute.
Well, the only thing I would say is the biggest question we get is, why can't you expand sizes? And we're definitely trying to do that. And we get as many sizes as we can. And then the other thing I'd like to point out is we're also starting in 2014 our own line. So right now we're just a retailer, but in 2014 we're manufacturing our own clothing line.
Excellent. And I hope you'll let me know when that happens so that we can have you on again and you can tell us all about that.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for being on with us. I think that you're doing some innovative and groundbreaking work, and just keep doing it. It's really wonderful. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and you can go to toxicfreetalkradio.com in order to find out more about the show. And you can listen to all the past shows, which are there archived. And tell your friends, and I'll be back tomorrow.